I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
With a new episode every Macabre Monday, we explore the genre with sharp focus and deep production.
We want you to love scary movies as much as we do, so we don't overshare plots or give spoilers. The Rance Macabre. Cutting,
cultured,
and curated. Thanks for joining us again.
Welcome back.
We are still on this debate. Top 25 official list of horror movies Rance.
We've taken a breather. We've collected ourselves.
Yes.
What have I agreed to?
Got up and walked around. You know what? I think it's going well.
Yeah. I feel bad that it's giving you anxiety.
Well, that's just any sort of thing that puts me on the spot gives me anxiety.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't you worry. I feel like I'm being successful. I feel like I'm doing well under pressure.
I think we're both being pretty good about compromise.
Yeah.
Neither of us has really dug our heels in the sand. I think that's coming next because we're dealing with our top tens.
Yes.
But up to this point, it's been pretty cordial.
It has been.
No evil looks off mic. Okay, so is there a good place for us to jump back in? We still have some room to move things around because we've got slots at 16 and 15.
Right.
And then we've got most of the top 10 to still fill in. So far, we've got The Signal at number 5, ABCs of Death at number 7, Jaws at number 9, 28 Days Later at number 10. And so this round, we again get a veto where we get to knock down numbers. Yeah, I'm not gonna jump right out and do that. But okay, well, actually, for conversation's sake, it was important that I rewatch The Signal and appreciate it in all its glory.
Yeah.
And I did.
Who did this?
I did, but I didn't want to.
You killed him?
Clark killed somebody too.
I did. It was self-defense.
You chopped his head off.
He had it coming. Probably. These are wild times. Everybody's being driven to desperate measures. I guess this happens to everybody. I've got something to show you, too. You just don't know who to trust right now.
And I don't have a negative thing to say about The Signal.
Okay.
I am thoroughly impressed at the editing in the film.
Yeah.
The approach to it is, like, just artsy enough to impress,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't go overboard. It with the editing, a number of times we get moments of, and it really sort of enhances the paranoia of the movie, and I love me a paranoid story. In this case, we sort of get the unreliable narrator's perspective from
right.
time to time, and it ups the tension, and it certainly ups the gore factor at times. And so it is really impactful. I really do like the movie a lot. I think it's a feat of low budget filmmaking.
Good. I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and going, you know, throwing a nod to your boy AJ Bowen. My viewing this time around, like, I really, really appreciated that. Like, I think this was the first time I had ever seen him. So, like, not having anything to compare him
with. This was the first time I ever saw him. I was like,
yep.
Who is this guy? This guy's the funniest, best guy.
It's so effective because he is playing it straightforward,
mm-hmm.
as someone who is lost in their head. Like, he is, in this case, he's a jealous husband, but because his emotions are only raised in anything relative to his wife, for the most part, his character is, like, you know, he is very much enveloped in his own delusion,
mm-hmm.
and so, like, he's pretty even keel.
Yeah.
And so for a villainous, violent person to be like to
he's
look
so
like
earnest.
to look like their blood pressure is not raising at all, it's really unsettling. And it really sunk in the second act. That's sort mm-hmm. of the black comedy, but it's really violent because he's sort of introduced to this new setting, and they don't really, because he's so even keel, they don't recognize that, like, he is a like a foaming at the mouth sociopath maniac who's willing to kill anything he perceives as a threat. And because he's a crazy person, he perceives anything as a threat.
Right.
And so, yeah, so it really, the second act sells it the best. So, yeah, I mean, wherever The Signal winds up, I will be fine
okay,
with it in our top 10.
Good.
I'm saying that, and now I'm hearing myself saying that. Okay.
Yeah, you like it. It's okay to like it.
I had to watch Get Out because I hadn't watched it
yet.
Finally, I know, like, Get Out. Because I didn't want to watch a bootleg. I wanted to be, like, honest about it and actually watch it and give people money or something.
Yes.
And so I watched it, and I thought it was very good.
Oh, good.
Very good. Love the original ending. Wish maybe that it might have ended.
Darker. I'm trying to remember which one they talked about being the original. Because there was like an original. There was one that they even tested that didn't go over well at all.
It was one that they filmed. And I don't want to get into because I don't want to spoil it. It was one that they filmed. It's featured on the DVD with commentary.
Okay, so you would have preferred the darker ending. I thought...
You know I like a dark ending.
Yeah, and it's certainly represented in our top 25. Yeah. I like that we've got two new French Extremity films. I do kind of like that. But as far as Get Out, the ending that they found, I thought was like a really... I mean, it's very clear why that was the theatrical ending. That was the satisfying, have you walk away. Like, you know, you're still thinking and talking about the movie... But, you know, for Patreon listeners, I did a Get Out episode, and I talked about some of the ending potentials, and there's, you know, there are conversations to be found where Jordan Peele is talking about the much darker endings he had in mind, and yeah, I don't know, I think Get Out will age incredibly well. I think, yeah, perhaps there might have been a version that ended even darker, that might have been a touch better of a film, maybe not as much of a crowd pleaser.
Right. And I would have liked that because I think a darker ending would have maybe been a little bit more honest and real, especially in today's climate, and especially the climate that's being represented in the film. The idea of race relations in the United States right now, especially right now, you know, as we're filming, this is even different than when they filmed that movie, which was still, Obama was still president when they were filming.
It feels like forever ago.
Yeah, it's like forever and yesterday at the same time. And so I almost wish that I would have seen that extremely darker ending.
I got hypnotized last night.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yo, to quit smoking, but it's Rose's mom's a psychiatrist, so.
Bruh, I don't care if the bitches are Yana Van Zandt, okay? She can't fix my motherfucking life. You ain't getting in my head.
I know she called me off guard, right? But it's cool because I'm cured. It worked.
Bro, how you not scared of this, man? Look, they could have made you do all types of stupid shit. They'd have you fucking barking like a dog.
Flying around like you a fucking pigeon.
Looking ridiculous, okay? Or, I don't know if you know this, white people love making people sex slaves and shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not a kinky sex family, dog.
But in that way, I think like Get Out is so culturally important. And now, I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope that, honestly, I would hope that it doesn't age well. I would hope that someone watch it 30 years from now and be like, I don't get this.
Yeah,
but well, I don't think that would be. I just think that would be.
I think movies like Rosemary's Baby, even the Stepford Wives, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like they don't, I don't think... time hurts them at all. I think it, you know, it requires a little more of the viewer because you have to sort of, you know, look at the outfits and the way people are speaking to each other and sort of adjust mentally that, you know, it was decades before. I think the same will happen with Get Out, that it is kind of this, like, you know, this flag down, this marker that we'll return to. And, you know, like you said, yes, I hope that it becomes almost laughable in terms of, like, can you believe there was a time where this stood out as, like, shocking and upsetting? I don't think that time's going to come anytime soon.
Right.
But I think Get Out, like, in terms of, you know, even cultural context aside, I still think it's an airtight movie.
Yeah,
I think,
it's a very good movie.
I think it's deserving in my top 10. I'm curious how you feel about it. I mean, you saw it after assembling your initial list.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have made your top 25?
Yeah, it probably would have made my top 25. It probably wouldn't have made my top 10.
Okay.
But it would have definitely been in the top 25. I think it's great. It's a great movie. There's certain things I don't care for. I don't really love Allison Williams all that much.
No, I feel like she takes a lot of heat.
At the end, I feel like someone else could have done that better, especially towards the end. And so I was a little like, eh. You know what I'm saying? I think I love Posh Kenneth. Like, who doesn't love him? Except for every moment, I just kept imagining that he would eventually, like, break out and start speaking with his English accent.
Is that the brother?
No.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, can we talk about the brother? That's also part of my problem.
Okay.
Why does he have that accent?
The brother just seemed kind of like to have a slurry way of speaking. It seemed more drunk than an accent.
He has a New York accent that he's putting, like a Brooklyn sort of accent.
I think technically they are meant to be in upstate New York.
That's upstate New York. No one else talks like that but the brother. Who for some reason puts on this accent.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely, like, he is affecting a personality.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, co-opting, you know, any number of cultures, including that of African Americans.
Because I was kind of annoyed by
his accent didn't jump out at me. I guess I wasn't focused on that. But
you know I'm, like, going to throw a fit about accents. And that accent just was, I didn't understand, especially because the actor himself is from Texas, so I know he was doing it on purpose, and I just didn't understand why.
I was unsettled by his peach fuzz mustache.
Oh, he's a creep. He was in Antiviral. He's the same guy from Antiviral. He's a creep.
Yeah, he can turn it on.
Yeah.
The creepy. But yeah, no, I okay, so I'm
no, it's
I'm
a good
thrilled.
Movie. It's a very good movie.
I'm thrilled that it would have made your top 25.
Absolutely.
I think that makes this next round a little bit easier. All right, so let's see. We both got The Orphanage pretty high. I've got it at 5, you've got it at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Considering The Signal, all right, so there's I think The Orphanage is a better movie. I'm not saying way, way better, but I think The Orphanage is a better film than The Signal. Hmm. How do you feel about that statement?
I might be interested in that idea if 28 Days Later could jump up to 4.
Okay.
And The Signal down to 6.
You want 28 Days
Orphanage at 5.
4 for that. Say that again. You want The Signal? You want to?
I could put Signal
at six.
Orphanage at 5.
Orphanage at 5.
28 Days Later at 4. 28 Days Later is fucking phenomenal. That's like a great
movie. It is,
movie.
But it's already in the top 10. How about? And this, I might feel differently about this later. But how about in order to get The Orphanage at 5? Bringing The Signal down to 6, we bring 28 Days Later at number 8.
I really want to see 28 Days Later at 4.
All right, and in exchange, okay, for the time being, okay. So The Signal would come down to 6.
Okay.
The Orphanage would go in at number 4.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was for 28 Days Later.
Yes.
Okay.
Orphanage at 5.
Orphanage at 5. Okay, so 28 Days Later just took a big jump to arrive at the 4 spot. Okay, to sort of apply a little bit of balm to my soreness, how about Get Out at... how about I let you choose between 8 and 10?
How about this? We put Jaws down to 10 and Get Out at 9. I feel like I'm being really reasonable. Or do you want Get Out at 8 and keep Jaws at 9?
I'd rather have Jaws at the 8 spot.
No.
Wait, outright no. You want Jaws lower if out entirely.
Right. 9 is a fine place for it.
All right. Well, what's left to fight for?
Well we got some
big
shit.
The thing is certainly
worth
fighting
right.
for.
Right. I think this. Let me tell you one thing I think.
We've also got to play Silence of the Lambs.
We both have Night of the Living Dead at 2. Mm-hmm. We're never going to agree on one because whatever. I think Night of the Living Dead should just be 1 for us because it's the only thing we could agree on so high.
Okay. All right. At this moment, yes, that sounds reasonable. Okay. We've still got to place Alien and
Silence
of the Lambs in the top 10. Oh, and you don't have The Shining in at all.
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, made to pick between Get Out and The Shining. Okay. All right. We never placed Invasion of the Body Snatchers. How about the 16th slot
right.
at the moment? All right. Well, what do you...
We've
got
to
place Alien mm-hmm. and Silence of the Lambs. Where did you have Silence?
Silence, I have it 7.
7?
I would like to see it at 9. You could put Jaws down to 10. It's better than Jaws. Don't fucking tell me that Silence of the Lambs is not a better movie than Jaws.
They're so different. I mean, they're... I think they're equally effective, but are they... Are they comparable in terms of... All right. Let me suggest this.
All right.
We've got our 11, 12, 13, 14 in there.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we could move those down so that the 15 slot is in, and we've got a little more wiggle room in the top 10 and 11.
Here's what I'd like to see. Night of the Living Dead. I'll be nice person. Night of the Living Dead, The Thing, The Signal, 28 Days Later.
You have managed to get in some curious dark horses into the top 10 because, yeah, directly below those is also ABCs of Death. Okay. How about The Thing at number 2? We slot down our 11, 12, 13, 14. And you allow me The Shining at least number 11.
Where is The Signal?
For the time
being. I need to fight for The Signal right now.
Well, I mean, The Signal is still standing at number 6, which
but
I think
is... But
it's
my number one movie.
I hear you. But, you
I'm
know,
being kind and not
by,
saying...
By inches. Well, all right.
I'm not saying Night of the Living Dead, then The Signal and The Thing. I'm being gracious. And saying The Thing and then The Signal. And then 28 Days Later.
Okay, well, let's start with The Thing.
No.
At number 2.
The Thing goes with the rest of the deal. If not, The Thing can go at number 10.
Okay, so... No. How about we move down Jaws to the 10 spot?
All right.
And for that... all right, and let's deal with Silence of the Lambs. Why don't we have Silence of the Lambs at number 9 for the time being? You just a moment ago argued that it's better than Jaws.
It is better than Jaws,
I don't
but
know
it's also
if I
better
could
than
that.
Alien.
You think Silence of the Lambs is better than Alien? Shots fired.
Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs better than Alien.
Yes.
I kind of disagree on that one. I think it's they're both momentous films. Is Silence of the Lambs a better film than Alien? Not even Murphy agrees. He's making weird alien noises because he's on my side. You hear that?
No, he is biting out a hole in that meat tire so he can wear it as a suit. He's clearly saying Silence of the Lambs here.
He's requesting goodbye horses. He's about to do the tuck and a dance. Murphy, you're a weird cat. Because you're a dog. all right, so we moved down Jaws.
Yep.
So that Silence of the Lambs could have a place.
Yes.
Okay, we've still got the 2 and 3 slot. I still want to see The Thing at number 2. But
I bet you do.
Humor me for the moment. Let's put in The Thing at number 2, and we'll figure out.
Just I don't want to even put it there.
Just
no,
to
then
look
we'll,
at it.
Then
it's going to make sense.
Then we'll put The Signal up there at 3.
At 3?
You just said it was great. It's a great movie.
Yes, but it is. Is it? Would I think of it as the third best horror movie ever?
It's like 3 movies in 1.
Well, I mean, I think one could make the argument that the 3 movies in 1 actually hurts it in terms of tonal shifts.
No.
I'm just saying it's a little, it's,
one
is
could,
it too varied?
One, one could say a lot of things, Darren.
All right, so you won't budge on having The Thing at number 2 unless The Signal comes in at number 3. So you want to jump The Signal ahead of 28 Days Later and The Orphanage for that trade? Like, that doesn't strike you as a little conflicted?
I could entertain the idea of 28 Days Later at number 3 instead of The Signal and move The Signal and The Orphanage up So, Orphanage 4, Signal 5. 28 Days Later 3, Thing 2, Night of the Living Dead 1.
Okay. All right. For the time being, I'll take that trade for the Thing at number 2. Okay. So now we have slots at 6, 8, and 9 to fill. And so in there, we want to get Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And we do need to get Alien. Oh, The Shining. All right. Well, what do you feel about The Shining?
Well, I think The Shining is a great movie.
How
right?
If you don't have it on your top 25?
No, because I don't love it. And I think it's great, though. Okay. I think it's good, and I think it's beautiful. It's like a beautiful film. I love the book so much, I can't get over it.
All right. So this is tricky with Get Out at 11, Jaws at 10. What's better than Jaws? Well, you said Silence of the Lambs. Better than Jaws. All right. For the time being, why don't we see what that looks like? Silence of the Lambs at number 9. I think The Shining deserves a place on this list more than Cube. I'm realizing that was a negotiation from earlier.
Interesting.
Okay, so what's not on the board is Cabin in the Woods. Mm-hmm. I feel like that sort of got put on the back burner for a couple trades. I guess now there is a debate. Is Cabin in the Woods better than Cube? I think it is. I think the acting is certainly better. I think Cube is a brilliant premise, but Cabin in the Woods is a brilliant premise that is further extracted into this meta world.
Okay, how about this? I think Cube should be on the list somewhere, right?
Okay.
I would...
Oh, this Sacrament's still at number 4.
That's I want to put Cube where a Sacrament is, and then you can put Cabin at 22.
Okay. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay. You totally forgot the Sacrament was still on here.
I feel like I was in the bathroom when you wrote that in.
No! It was the very first one we did.
I do feel bad we didn't get Blair Witch Project on there. Right? It's not...
No.
It's not on the top 25.
No, Blair Witch isn't on there, but I don't want to give up Cube. You know?
That's...
It took a dive.
No one has ever had to make.
From 12 all the way down, and I don't want to...
I didn't have it on my top 25 at all.
I know.
So that was... Was it... I don't know. It wasn't even in my like honorable mentions, I don't think.
You never think about Cube, but it's good.
I don't. I mean... I actually like the series. I even like the last one that's not good. But, yeah. All right, so Cube.
I wish they'd make another Cube.
It does seem like it's about time they do return to the subject
matter. Return to the Cube.
Return to the Cube. Maybe not that title.
Maybe. I'll write it. There's a cube and some math doesn't work.
Shaun of the Dead at number 12. Is Shaun of the Dead better than The Exorcist?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Is it? Okay. I mean, it's effectively scary and it is very funny. Is it as scary as The Exorcist? Is it as effective as a horror movie as The Exorcist?
Can we pause while I play a clip for you? I think let's just do this. Tonight, I'm gonna
have myself. Okay, so I'll grant you that The Exorcist does not have a moment scored by Queen the way Shaun of the Dead does the whole beating up to Don't Stop Me Now.
There's nothing that lifts your spirits more than
this.
Is
it Killer
Queen?
Is that the name of the song?
This is Don't Stop Me Now.
Don't Stop Me Now. Okay.
Yeah. Killer Queen might have also been nice. That might have been nice. We could have done a lot of things.
The Exorcist has its own iconic music. I mean, it really... I mean, it,
yeah, it
sunk
does.
Into the zeitgeist.
Come
Yeah, The Exorcist is not as fun. Yeah, there's never...
It's not about the funny.
There's
it's
not
the,
like a rallying of the audience. So The Exorcist isn't really... I don't know how much fun The Exorcist ever actually is. I'll give you that. The Shaun of the Dead deserves credit for being fun, which not, horror movies don't usually place as a priority.
Right. I think it's both scary and fun and gory and touching. It's all the things.
It is. It is. And I was kind of knocking it for being a little like a little too varied. But all right. All right. I'm satisfied with having Shaun of the Dead ahead of The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was mentioned that I saw Edgar Wright's Baby Driver recently. And the attention to detail and the syncopation of like the songs that he has scored in the movie, as well as like, you know, gunfire and all these things happening on beat, is like he essentially did like a musical of an action movie.
That's cool.
And yeah, it's pretty great. Rocket ship on my way to Mars on a collision course. I am a satellite. I'm out of control. All right. Well, are you ready to sign off on this as the agreed upon list?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah?
I'll take it.
Okay. What do you want to do with the like leftovers? The what do we have?
Wicker Man.
At number 26, we have The Wicker Man. At number 27, we have Texas Chainsaw Massacre. At number 28, Rosemary's Baby. I feel a little bad that Rosemary's Baby didn't make it on to the...
I feel bad that Blair Witch, but we can't all have our things,
no,
you know?
I guess not.
We can't have everything.
There's only so many slots. So by now it's been 2 weeks, but I wanted to capitalize on the community that I've been in about a year by now as the New York Horror Movie Meetup Group. What's up, guys? Last meetup was a Shark Week celebration.
And you're
where
afraid
we watched
of sharks.
The Shallows. I mean, yeah, as any, you know, rational human being should be. I'm fascinated. Fascinated and scared. Yeah, I like them. It was the first time I'd seen The Shallows. I felt bad that had gotten away from me, but The Shallows was pretty solid. You know, I'm not wild about the sort of expositional stuff and whatever family backgrounds, like none of that shit mattered to me at all.
Just want to see some people get eaten by some shark and stuck on a boat.
Yeah, and even sort of like, you know, the best you can sort of do to outwit a shark, you know, good luck to you. Yeah, I dug that. The other movie was Bait, which is an Australian film with the actress from Your Next. It was a lot more kitsch. It wasn't meant to be kitsch, but it just kind of it arrived there.
I don't think there. I like that.
Yeah, kind of like a sci-fi movie, but still like fun and, you know, sort of goofy at times. But in any case, so that was the meetup, and I capitalized to get the people in the group to share with me their top fives, figuring, you know, I was impressed by how many people were willing to participate. Before we get into the assembly of the group's top fives, I did want to drop in my conversation with Marla, who orchestrated that meetup where I did all the recording, and we talked the horror movie meetup group. If you're a listener who's in New York, you should absolutely check us out on meetup.com, New York Horror Movie Meetup. Hey, Marla, thanks for joining me again.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
I guess we met probably about a year ago. I think I've been into the New York Horror Movie Meetup group a year and change. I think I joined last summer, and this latest meetup was for Shark Week and two shark movies that I hadn't seen. So I was pretty thrilled to get to watch The Shallows and Bait, the Australian shark movie. And you were the lady in charge who sort of curated these two. Can you talk about putting together these two movies for the event?
Sure. I'm fascinated by Shark Week, and I guess a couple of, it's also around the time that the Shark Inning movies come out, so I just figure as a great theme, it would be nice to, you know, just some movies together and you know, just do some research. And The Shallows was a pretty popular movie that came out about a year ago.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting. I bought it and I thought that would be a quite interesting movie. And actually, I came across Bait while doing research for another meetup group, because it was like a four-pack, and there were three other movies on there, and two of them were Roger Corman movies. So I was really trying to watch the other two movies, but and I came across this movie and I thought it was like an interesting idea and concept about a tsunami that where people are in the middle of a robbery, and then, like, you know, they're surrounded in water and sharks. It also reminded me of the fact that during Sandy, people were taking videos of sharks going up into the streets in Rockaway.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So that's what interests me, that they have people, you know, taking videos from their second story, you know, of their house, and the shark is going down the street, and I thought, wow, you know, when I saw this beat, I was like, yeah, that's interesting, where a tsunami hits, and the next thing you know, you're on top of the aisle going, you know, there's a shark in aisle 10, you know, so yeah. So I just thought it was really interesting. So I thought, and I've never heard of that movie, so I thought, you know, bring something interesting to the table. And as an organizer, you try and do that a lot. I've had some failures. I've had some really good successes, and you just learn from it. But try to bring something new to, you know, something that not everybody has seen. Yeah. They don't want to see is, you know, what you know, brings us horror movie buffs together.
Well, speaking of shark movies, did any shark movies make it into your top five?
Yes, actually, one of my top five was Jaws. That is the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
That really set the bar for any and all shark movies.
Next, you, the listener, will be listening to the edited assembly of the New York Horror Movie Meetup Group's top fives, and it's a fun bunch. I think you'll get a kick out of this.
Okay, so Candace, what were your top five horror movies? Mike, Mita, Day, I got you on the line. Hey, Kyle. Dave, thanks for joining us, Alba. Okay, Mike, Neria, Ray, you're on the mic. Okay, Tam, thanks for joining me, Lewis. So, Steve, what are your top five horror movies?
They come to mind. The first one really is Jaws.
Okay, yeah.
And then the next four can change from week to week, but Martyrs. I love Martyrs.
Martyrs was on my top 25.
Martyrs is amazing.
Martyrs still haunts me a little bit.
I'll never get over Martyrs.
Okay, what's number five?
Halloween. Michael Myers.
The original Halloween. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Definitely the first one on that one.
And then number five, I put Carrie.
The Conjuring.
The Conjuring, okay.
Number five of my top five horror movies would be Hellraiser.
Number five is Toxic Avenger.
The Toxic Avenger.
The original Toxic Avenger.
Are you a Troma fan?
Yeah, I'm a big Troma fan.
Okay.
Number five, The Shining.
This is a comedy way more than it is a horror movie, but Shaun of the Dead has infinite rewatch value.
Number five is Nightmare on Elm Street.
My number five, I would say American Werewolf in London. It's bloody, it's scary, it's funny, it's got a lot going for it.
So starting with number five, I like 70s and 80s horror movies, so I'm going to have to go with The Omen for number five.
Okay, creepy kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think number five and four, you could switch them. And as vanilla as this might be, I think it would be a tie between Jaws and Halloween.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Number four is Scream.
Number four is Friday the 13th.
The original, okay.
Yeah. And to be honest, like Halloween and Friday the 13th, they're like on the same level. Actually, Friday the 13th, maybe I would put higher because there's the fact that, you know, there was the twist on who the villain was.
Yeah, I think it's a more dynamic movie.
Yeah. But they're both comparable.
The fourth one would be the original Halloween from 1978.
Okay, that was on Neria's list as well. Yeah,
started the whole slasher craze.
The Shining for number four.
Okay.
Dawn of the Dead.
Okay,
that's number four.
My next one, I would say Martyrs.
Number four, American Werewolf in London.
Yeah. Okay, what's next?
After that, I would say Wreck.
REC.
Yes.
That is on both mine
and Mindy's. If I could cheat and put the second one in there with it as one entry, I would, because that is one hell of a double feature.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3. There are some good scares, some good kills. The original one, in my opinion, has the scariest scenes, but part 3 is the one, again, I feel like has the best rewatch value.
Night of the Living Dead, of course, classic.
Night of the Living Dead is my number two. That was one of the few movies we could agree, me and my co-host.
Oh,
Night
okay.
of the Living Dead is our both number two.
Yeah, you can't forget that movie.
It holds up.
It holds up. Yeah. It's still terrifying.
We are at four now.
The Mist.
Yeah. Have you watched the DVD? There's like a option to see it in black and white.
Yeah.
That gives it a whole different feeling.
That gives
different
a whole
feeling.
Different view of it.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, from when they first made it, so they actually started making a remake. So it
yeah.
gives you more in-depth scene of it.
That was Frank Darabont has a talent for doing Stephen King right. I really like The Mist. You know what? I'm thinking about it now. I didn't include it on my list, but it deserves to be there.
My four is Dead Alive, Brain Dead.
Dead Alive, okay.
Four is Day of the Dead. It's the bud.
Friday the 13th, Gremlins, and Evil Dead.
Okay. Gremlins. Gremlins is a new one for top 20, but going back to the idea of a horror comedy that does
both
incredibly well.
But Gremlins is like an awesome horror comedy, you know? They're like doing cocaine.
It's legit scary. It's legit scary.
They're like looking at porno. It's funny, you know? And they go from like...
I don't think that happens. So number three.
Number three, Halloween.
The original Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was John Carpenter, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's a classic. Again, scared the crap out of me. My favorite line is when she's like, there is no such thing as the boogeyman. But one of those movies where it's like, no, if you can't have sex or you'll die. It's like, no.
No. The like archetypal slasher flick, which I guess followed Black Christmas.
Yes.
I think Black Christmas is 74, Halloween's 79 or 80.
Oh, yeah. Black Christmas was you can't have abortions.
Yeah, a lot of abortion talk in Black Christmas.
Number three, Jaws.
Yeah, I think that was in my top five, Jaws.
My third one would be, it's a little weird one, but Final Destination only because...
Okay.
Only because it's a first of its own kind. I feel like not many movies were solid in, like, death is coming after you and the way that they made it in Final Destination.
Yeah.
So... I thought it was the first of its own kind.
It is kind of brilliant in its own way where they, like you said, they invented a style of movie. They decided, like, let's trim all the story stuff out. Let's just focus on intricate kills.
And you don't really, like, what are you running away from? Like, who's the murderer? Who's the killer? And
fate.
You're just,
fate.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
My number three is The Fly, Cronenberg's The Fly, 1986. I revisited that movie a couple of years ago. I was showing some of my younger cousins that flick. They hadn't seen it. And I was really worried that since they were so young, they might be super bored with, 80s special effects. But they really liked the movie. And it made me realize that flick actually holds up.
The original Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween, would be number three.
The third one is the original Dawn of the Dead from 1978.
Okay.
George A. Romero. Got to give props to Romero.
You prefer that one over Night of the Living Dead, or is that coming next on your list?
Night was going to be one of the top five, but I couldn't because I have so many others. And it's like, I watched it recently, and it seemed a little bit dated. I've been able to get into it before, but I've seen it so many times, it's hard for me to get in completely into it. I get into it every now and then.
Okay.
You know, it's one of my top 100, but though. Top 50, rather.
Three and two are really almost interchangeable. So for three, I put Alien.
So I needed to pick a representative of David Cronenberg because he's my all-time favorite horror director. But I have a hard time pinning down like what his best movie is and what I think... which of his is probably my favorite. And I probably have to go with the obvious choice, which is The Fly. His remake of The Fly.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis.
Yes.
Yeah, the Fly, I think I had it around 16 on my top 25, but it's definitely up there. As far as sci-fi horror, it still works. Like, all the practical effects age incredibly well for that one. Like, that was a labor of love.
Absolutely.
Terrifying, creepy labor of love.
And probably the best body horror, just straight up body horror movie.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. It was just so fun and
it's
so cool.
It's a modern classic. I love like how meta and funny and
funny
also terrifying
and scary
it is.
And, yeah. Yeah, perfect.
Number three, The Descent.
The Descent is awesome.
Yes.
I think mine wound up around 13.
I really love between that and Dog Soldiers. I kind of wonder why Neil Marshall doesn't do more horror movies.
Okay, so what's number three?
The Blob.
The Blob. Which one? The 1986 remake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was actually good.
It's an underrated horror classic. There are some like brutal deaths in that movie.
Yeah.
That like
still, I saw that movie when I was a kid. I still think about those moments, like from the chin, sink. Like people getting sucked through small spaces.
Yeah,
that's pretty terrifying. Nice.
Number two is Alien.
Alien, the original. Because, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, you don't have to defend Alien. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's.
And just there were so many twists.
Yeah.
And very bloody, very gory.
Yeah, and
Sigourney Weaver
establishes Ripley as one of the all-time great protagonists.
Yes, absolutely. Ripley kicking ass was amazing.
Yeah, Evil Dead is number two. That was one I couldn't finish watching it the first time.
Really?
I got really scared.
Okay.
It was too intense. I stopped. I couldn't watch it. I was like, and then I got in, you know, I guess about a couple weeks later, I got enough courage, and I went back and watched. I finished, and I didn't realize that it was so close to the end. It was like 5 more minutes. I would have watched the whole thing.
That's funny.
My second one, I have to say, would be Pet Sematary.
Nice.
Pet Sematary, Stephen King.
It still works.
It still works till today.
Gage as the creepiest little kid with the scalpel.
Scary little kid. That
makes me nervous around
scary.
Little kids.
Yes. And the book was pretty intense. I read the book, and it was worse than the movie. Like, it was more detailed with the sister, and it was pretty awesome. Just
nice.
The fact
are
that you can...
Are you a big Stephen King fan?
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've seen almost, like, all his films. I've read a few of his books, and I've seen, like, almost all his... There's still a few I have to catch up on, but... Yeah. Pretty good.
Okay.
Second one is Alien.
The next one is... Number two is The Shining.
The Shining. Nice. Yeah. The Shining's a classic.
Here at Stanley Kubrick's 1980, Jack Nicholson, The Shining.
So less faithful than other Stephen King work, but I would say it's one of the all-time scariest movies.
That movie's scary. I was the first movie I ever seen. That and The Exorcist were the first movies that introduced me into horror, actually.
Okay. That's a high bar. Yeah.
They really scared me a lot. And I had nightmares for weeks after seeing those movies.
Number two is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay. The original.
Wes Craven's original Nightmare on Elm Street.
This might be a controversial choice.
Here we go.
The Maniac remake.
The Maniac remake. The POV Elijah Wood.
Oh, my God. That one scared me.
Like a French director?
I think it was.
Yeah.
That one scared me so much, I had to watch the making of on DVD before I could sleep.
Nice. Yeah, that one, it was unsettling. He doesn't get enough credit. And
he doesn't.
Elijah Wood is a huge horror nerd.
Yeah.
So, like, it's exciting that he... Yeah,
I love the original Maniac. And when I heard they were doing a remake, I was like, no way. I refuse, but I watched it anyway, and it blew my mind. It was, I think, even better than the first.
What, the remake better than the original?
The remake's better than the original, yeah.
Number two... The original Friday the 13th, okay, the one in the 70s,
the very first one. Was it 79?
79.
Oh, Friday the 13th. The original 1980.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. The original is probably my favorite of them.
Number two. I'm kind of still thinking I might move my list around to the last second, but I'm gonna throw Night of the Living Dead in there.
That was my number two.
Yeah, I saw that. I want to say I was like 6 or 7.
Yeah?
I did not make it all the way through the movie the first time. Weirdly enough, I got up until, like, it wasn't, like, the violence got me. It was, like, when the zombies start coming out of the trees and, like, walking towards the house. And, yeah, that was it for me.
Bug eating.
Yeah. That was, Like, it was more the anticipation of shit was about to go down.
What's your number two?
Freddy. That's a number in Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. The first one?
I would say, the first one, I would say that
part would be my first one. You're like the first in a series.
Yeah, because after they start making the second one and the third one and the fourth one, it's like, okay, kind of get sour after that.
My number two, which I'm sure is on a lot of lists, is A Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. I can't believe you have to say that now. The original, 1984.
Number two, I heard from other people, and then I was like, oh, yeah, like, I can't leave this off the list. Alien.
And for two, I put The Thing. And number one is Poltergeist.
Poltergeist is number one. That's a new introduction.
I love that.
You know what? I feel bad. I didn't include Poltergeist into my top 25, but I do love that movie.
It's brilliant.
Number one for me was Scream. And the reason why was because I guess I become so desensitized to horror movies
at one point. That's what brought the magic of horror movies back.
Yeah.
For me, that, you know, that was the one. So it just had the right amount of suspense. I mean, the timing was great as far as like when things happened, and you know, and you just didn't know who it was until the very end.
The Cabin in the Woods, number one favorite.
It's another great horror comedy.
I wish I had that job, that like government job of having to send teenagers to their doom.
The first one is Friday the 13th.
Okay, so we have Rosemary's Baby. That's my number one.
You were just talking about how it sort of inspires anxiety even before it really ramps up.
I just had a feeling of dread throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
That I've never experienced with any other movie.
Okay. Still, like, of all the movies you've seen, this like, still kind of freaks you out from the beginning.
Yeah, like, it just, throughout the entire movie, I just had a feeling of dread. It's like that, the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the fact that you don't see the villain or the...
He has his father's eyes.
Yeah, that makes it worse. But I just had a whole feeling of dread. Like, the tension was unbelievable.
And my... number one is the original Halloween.
Okay.
Crazy reason, I watched that as a tradition during Halloween.
Okay. On the nose, Nerio. Yeah. On the nose. All right, Nerio, thanks for sharing.
Thanks.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is my all-time favorite, though.
So that would be your number one?
That's my number one.
Suspiria from 1977, Dario Argento. It's such an artsy...
It's
horror
a gorgeous
film. It's a beautifully shot horror film.
Candace, who was on mic earlier, is going to a screening of that tonight. I guess there's a
Metrograph. Yeah, I'm seeing the showing, the 35mm tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So
cool. That's commitment.
So
cool.
Those are my five.
Thanks.
And they change, so I don't know.
Top horror movie for me is The Exorcist. I think it's one of the scariest movies that's ever been made. I understand, because I talked to a Jewish friend, that it doesn't have the same impact for people who do not have a Christian background.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But, yeah, I got to give it to The Exorcist.
Okay, so we're down to number one, right? What is your all-time favorite horror movie?
My all-time favorite horror movie is The Evil Dead.
You're wearing an Evil Dead t-shirt right now.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so you're a fan of the very original Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2?
The original.
The very original.
I like
okay.
the whole series. The entire series is good.
Yeah.
But the original is stuck with me for as long as I can live. My buddies Doug and Mark. Shout out to my buddies Doug and Mark. Doug Godino and Mark Shindemi. We're big fans of The Evil Dead, and we make movies also on... We make YouTube videos and movie reviews and things on YouTube. And Evil Dead is what started us all to make... Just inspired us to make YouTube videos and movies and horror movies and stuff and get us into the filmmaking business.
That movie inspired a lot of people. A lot of people saw Evil Dead and thought, I could do that.
Yeah, we could do that, yeah. Evil Dead's just a great, great movie. A cult classic.
Great. Thanks for sharing, Kyle.
Thank you.
My favorite horror movie is An American Werewolf in London.
Number one, The Thing. Probably my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, mine too.
Saw it first time when I was like 8 or 9. Scared the crap out of me, obviously, yeah.
And number one, again, might fall into that same category.
Shots fired. I'm looking at it.
As number five of horror comedy might skew a little bit more towards the comedy. But Slither by James Gunn.
That's challenging.
Beyond kind of the... All of the movies on this list kind of are either comedic or at least have their moments of comedy. Even Alien. And I think having comedic moments in horror are one of the best ways to break things up. And I think you have to be like... kind of a master director in order to incorporate those two things skillfully.
Yeah.
My first one is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Absolutely. Original. When I was a kid, I was introduced to this film. The first one is what really like opened the doors to all of them. Like what, it was the most realistic one.
Yeah,
like the
it most was gritty as hell. The concept of a child molester who's coming back from hell to kill their
and
kids.
It was
like,
so,
that's dark.
I mean, all the deaths were so intense. Like it's something I've never ever seen before. And as a kid, you're like, what am I watching? So it
as
really.
As a kid. So someone whose top five I definitely wanted to hear was Anne Marie. She was too shy, however. She did not want to come on mic. That's fine. Maybe next time. But Anne Marie's list is an interesting mix of classics and new movies. So at number five, 30 Days of Night, David Slade's take on the graphic novel, the Stephen Niles book that I love to death. I think this was David Slade's film after Hard Candy, so the bar was high. And yeah, I think it's a great atmospheric horror movie. Number four is a surprise here. It's The Tingler, the original black and white Vincent Price, William Castle kind of schlock horror. If you consider like the audience experience where William Castle was putting buzzers under people's seats. Yeah, it was the original 4D theater experience. Number three is a classic, The Exorcist. It's a classic. It holds up. Number two is Jaws. And number one, we are of like mind, Night of the Living Dead, the original 1968 George Romero classic. Mindy and I have talked about this movie at length. We just recently released the Patreon episode that we did for Night of the Living Dead. And yeah, George Romero's classic holds up.
Listening through it, I kept hoping someone would say almost any of the movies that were on my list, but none of them did. None of them did. I mean, a few came on there, but I really was hoping to hear at least one signal.
Yeah, it didn't come up, oddly enough.
Well, and then I didn't even, like, it didn't even occur to me until kind of AJ Bowen mentioned it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Didn't realize there was another The Signal. When I'm talking about The Signal, listeners, just so we're clear, I'm talking about the AJ Bowen The Signal, not... Yeah.
Is it from like 2006 or 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was fun to sort of get AJ Bowen's attention, maybe down the line.
But I didn't know there was another one, and I'm afraid now listeners are probably thinking I'm like a terrible judge of movies.
Oh, we should have clarified that way up top in the other episode, but yeah. Well, Betty Toxic on Twitter figured it out that you were not...
Detective Betty.
You were not encouraging people to go and check out the, like, young adult...
Yeah, I don't even... What even
young
is
adult
that?
Film. I couldn't tell you. Yeah. I have no idea.
That's clearly not the movie I'm talking about, everyone.
So, for the group, we got a lot of the sort of mainstays of John Carpenter's Halloween.
Which we don't even have on
the
here.
Thing. We don't. Yeah. I feel a little bad.
A lot
bad.
Of Halloween fans.
And I get that, but just as far as like a personal hierarchy, like Black Christmas is a better film than John Carpenter's Halloween.
Margot
and precedes
Kidder's
it and
amazing.
Sort of... Oh, yeah. There's so much to that. I'm not going to. In any case, Halloween might show up somewhere in an honorable mentions list, but as far as top 25, sorry, John Carpenter. You got represented pretty well otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've arrived at the moment. It's the it's the full read through, and we're going to hold back the social media posting for this, so the podcast will be the first place you're hearing it. We've negotiated, we've traded, we've both left a little kind of, but here is our Rance Macabre sanctioned top 25 horror movies. At number 25, we have the new French Extremity film, Martyrs.
24, the Canadian Cube.
At 23, the oh-so-very American Scream.
22, Cabin in the Woods. Solid film through and through.
Number 21, the classic, The Changeling.
Number 20, a classic, Bride of Frankenstein.
Number 19, a little bit of a dark horse, REC, the Spanish language film.
Number 18, classic film, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I think Wes Craven's the only guy getting two movies in our top 25.
Justifiably so.
At number 17, we have Alfred Hitchcock's
Psycho.
Number 16, Darren's choice, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
At number 15, The Descent.
Number 14, so happy it's up here, French extremity film Calvaire.
At number 13, The Exorcist.
Number 12, Shaun of the Dead.
Well fought for. At number 11, the new, the modern classic, Get Out.
Number 10, Jaws.
At number 9, we have The ABCs of Death.
Number 8, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. At number 7, we've got the very start of Ripley and the Nostromo with Alien.
Number 6, a cold weather classic, The Shining.
At number 5, the hard-fought, hard-won, The Signal.
Number 4, I think we can all agree on this, The Orphanage, Spanish-language film.
It's a perfect film. Number 3, Mindy's very sad. It's funny, I got all yours.
And I got all yours. I had to talk about Jaws.
Number 3, we have 28 Days Later, Danny Boyle firing on all cylinders. Brilliant film.
Number 2, another cold weather classic, Darren Hates the Cold. It's a solid flick.
Or I love the cold and I just want to keep seeing it.
Maybe. John Carpenter's The Thing. Well worth it.
And number 1, we can all agree, it's the George Romero 1968 original, Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
May he rest in power, George Romero. Yeah, so that's our list. I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
I think this is a really varied. There's a lot of classics, but there's a lot of new stuff that you fought really hard to get in there.
Yeah, I feel decent about my negotiation skills.
I think we did a really good job at compromising. And even though they say that, you know, a good compromise means everybody's a little disappointed, I'm not really.
No, because everything on here is good. Let's be serious. Everything on here is a good film.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And so, yeah, there is our Rance Macabre. Sanction. I'm just saying sanction, like it's an official sounding
word.
Yeah,
if I had a stamp, I would stamp it.
So thank you, listeners. Thanks for sticking around for this. We want to hear yours. We really do. And down the line, we might, you know, sort of get more specific in terms of genre. We might talk about specific slashers.
Yeah.
We'll probably do a more narrow selection than 25 just for, you know, brevity's sake. But yeah, I mean, sci-fi horror is its own subgenre that's got, you know, chock full of great movies. Meta horror could be its own list.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of great stuff. Horror comedy. We've got a few in there. I feel like, yeah, we could. Yeah,
we should never discount horror comedy because it can be comedy and horror at the exact same time.
As effectively, one on the next. Yeah, you played the Shaun of the Dead clip that even intercut with the Queen's Don't Stop Me Now are moments of like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it never stops being comedy in order to be horror at any point. And that's kind of magic. It's a feat to be able to do both those things. But down the line, we'll certainly revisit the subject matter in terms of like subgenres and perhaps other favorite lists there. So yeah, listeners, hit us up with your top fives. If you want to hit us up with all top 25s, we'll read through that.
Yeah, I don't care. I love to read people's ideas, especially when they agree with my own.
I was just going to say that I'm sure there are movies that I haven't seen
right. That
deserve placement. And, you know, that's my bad. But yeah, I want to hear what I'm missing, what we're missing. So listeners, hit us up. We are on all the social media at Rance Macabre. And our email is therancemacabre@gmail.com.
You can also check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/therancemacabre. Even though we're cutting back on our regular episodes, we still are doing one episode a month on Patreon. And we have this previous list where we argue 25 through 11.
Debate. Pretty thorough. I think we deserve a pat on the back that it never broke out to arguing.
No, I think we're doing very good.
It was merit-based debate.
Merit-based debate. That's very nice. So you can check that out over at patreon.com/rantsmacabre. For $1 a month, you get access to all of our Patreon stuff. We have extra episodes. Like I said, we're talking about this list, but we have a great one that I really love, and I've listened to it a few times, The Night of the Living Dead and the remake Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite Patreon episodes.
Yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff in there. The Killer Cars episode that we recorded on a road trip. We've got some movie commentary. We've got the Science of Fear minisode was a lot of fun to do. We got all sorts of stuff. We got music. We've got sketches. All sorts of stuff is waiting for you at patreon.com/rantsmacabre.
And even though Wicker Man did not make the cut, we have a great Wicker Man sketch on our Patreon that I just remembered just now.
I think it was like the second thing we ever did. And no kidding, like I was so satisfied with how that sketch came out that I've listened to it, no kidding, like a dozen times.
I just remembered it just now. It makes me laugh to think about it. It makes me laugh.
So Wicker Man might not have made it to our top 25, but it's in my heart. And it's on our Patreon page. But that'll do it for now. We'll see you again soon. This is me, Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks.
But you just said Alien is a better film than Silence of the Lambs. I disagree.
No, I did not say that.
Didn't you?
No. I said Silence is better than Jaws. And Alien is better than Jaws. But Silence is better than Alien, yes.
Isn't that what I just said?
No, you said that I said the Alien was better than Silence.
Oh,
Silence
is that what I said?
Alien.
I misspoke.
We have been doing this for a while. If we're confused, imagine the listener.
Oh, boy.